seen in a while, and she said, "Are you talking about the things that sting or white Anglo-Saxon Protestants?" So I'm going to be talking about the things that sting. And I have a story to share. When I was 7 years old, I was playing on top of a tree, and I stepped on a wasp's nest. And before I could get down, I was storm all over the place with wasps. And I ended up getting stung in my ear and my nose and different places in my body, but particularly my ear and my nose, I remember, because my nose and my ears did not look the way ears and nose were supposed to look like. And it took me a long time to heal. They're very, I don't know about wasps here, but wasps in Africa, they'll be with you for days. And I remember that. I remember that really affecting me in school, me being embarrassed and self-conscious. There was just a whole emotion tied to that experience. Fast forward nearly 20-something years. I'm sitting down at home, having a good time with my grandparents, and I look up and we're outside, those sort of outside patios, you know, with the umbrella, and I look up and wasp nests. And I really don't know what to do at that moment, so I walk back in the house and I call my very tall, muscular younger brother. So you're joining the Marine Corps, right? You take care of that. And his response to that was, of course, you got to stop watching those Marvel movies. But I didn't deal with it because I remember that as a kid. And I had forgotten about that experience until that very moment. He takes care of the wasps. The very next day, this is Sunday, I have an important meeting, a presentation that I'm supposed to give. I'm running a little bit late. I get in my car. And I have a printout of my presentation. And I throw it in the back seat. And I start driving. And I don't have time to stop. I'm on the highway. I need to get there. Well, Lord and behold, two wasps in my car. And I can see the reflection of their reflection from my rearview mirror, if you know what I mean. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. I can't stop to take care of this. So I'm like, all right, fine. Roll down the windows or whatever, they'll fly out. Well, I didn't staple my brief, right? So as soon as I roll down the windows, things start flying around, but I need that. The windows went right back up, right? So at that moment, I made a slip-second decision. This is more important to me than that. So I'm driving. I'm not paying attention to the road as much as I should be. You know, I'm looking at the road with one eye, and then my second eye is keeping an eye on those things. And in that moment, it was completely out of my control. It was something that I was very, very afraid of. My means of resolving the situation are not going to work, or if they work, they're going to cause a disorder or loss. So I looked up and I said, Lord, you got to take care of this. And I started to focus on the Lord. I started to focus on memories and experiences that I've had with the Lord. And I noticed that I stopped thinking about the wasps in my backseat. It wasn't direct, right? Every couple of minutes, I was still looking back. But when I got there, it dawned on me that I hadn't looked back for maybe 20-25 minutes. It was unbelievable, right? I don't know what happened to those wasps. When I got back, my windows were shut tight. I was equipped this time to take care of them, and they weren't there. So this was a learning moment for me on multiple dimensions. One, our past experiences will put fears in our hearts for very many different things. And we will do anything that we can to avoid dealing with those things. In that case, for me, it was telling my brother to deal with that. But sometimes the Lord will be after that, will be after that fear, right? And he will put us in a situation where we'll be faced with those things. And our personal solutions will not work. They will create disorder. They will create loss. And the only thing that will work is focusing on the Lord. So that was a big learning moment for me. And the second lesson was that the Lord would use such a, in my mind, trivial experience to teach me about his nature, about his love. We are a prophetic people. I was reminded that the Lord can use a story about wasps to teach me about patterns in my life. So this morning, I'd like to read out of Isaiah 43. If you're out there and you have wasps in your life, whatever they are, caused by experiences, if you've been avoiding them, and if you feel like every single time you try to find a solution for it, it creates more disorder, focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord and he'll take care of it. That's what I'm bringing today. Now, Isaiah 43 here, it's being addressed to the nation of Israel, God's people, right? But we're standing here, and the blood that was poured for us, sign of a new covenant. We are God's people. So please personalize this. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Crush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west, and I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are honored and you are loved. So this morning, I don't really know how to finish this, but this is what the Lord put in my heart. Bring that to the table. We are God's people. We are honored. We are loved. And if we cannot control our situation, it's because we are not meant to. So come forward. This is an open communion. Take the elements and return to your seat. And I'm just very glad that the moral of the story is not invest in a stapler, but that I serve a mighty God. And the special offering today is for Bless the Children and Hope.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you, Lord, that our experiences with you are greater than our experiences anywhere else. We thank you, Lord, that focusing on you calms storms. We thank you that your economy trumps the economy of creation. Lord, I pray for intimacy with you in the midst of situations, Lord, that we are afraid of and that we have no control over. Lord, I pray that our spirits would be in tune with yours, Lord, and that would receive from you prophetically. Lord, I pray that we'll just lay everything out for you to take care of. And we celebrate in anticipation, we celebrate in advance and in assurance that there is a testimony of your glory, of your goodness, of your provision that will come out of it. In Jesus' name, take and eat. Pastor Jay.
Well, welcome to our Father's house this morning. In case you were not already aware, this is Pentecost Sunday. Woohoo! Yes. And the Spirit of God is here. Lord, we are just thankful that you're here with us today. We thank you for your presence in worship. We thank you for the word that's already been ministered to us, Lord, and how you're already working things in. So we just want to acknowledge you, Holy Spirit, and give you honor. We want to give you glory. We want to give you praise as you reveal Jesus to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I have a few announcements here, not a whole lot, because you get MailChimp emails weekly, and those things are fantastic. We have a great communications director. She's been putting all sorts of great stuff together. So please, if you don't check your MailChimp yet, please do. And if you don't have MailChimp, I'd ask you to actually contact the office and get your email to us so that we can get that out to you. There's some great stuff that's in there for you. So a couple things to highlight. Baby Bottle Blitz. We released the baby bottles on Mother's Day. Next week is Father's Day, so please, if you have them, bring them back next week. You can start to see some installments are coming in, so please bring those bottles. Also, we have a church picnic coming up in two Sundays, and men, the night before that is our cookout and poker night and everything. We're going to be going long into the late night, smoking meat and having a good time getting ready for the next day, because the next day is a picnic. It's a fundraiser for the men. We have new T-shirts for the guys, so we ask you guys to come and just donate what you feel like you want to, but guys, we're going to have a great night Saturday night, so please, if you have not signed up or RSVP'd, please do. And last thing, that is Saturday night, the 22nd, thank you. Thanks, Barb. All right. That's all I'm going to say, because I actually talked about VBS already. So without further ado, I would like to welcome our own Pastor Robin Beal to the stage. So please rise, welcome her, and honor her.
Thank you. Praise God. I was thinking about the testimony that our brother started out with the wasp. I don't have one of those, thank God. But what I thought most about is the fact of how Pastor prayed for fear. And fear is something, he prayed for fear last week, I believe it was, last Sunday. And fear is something that most people don't ever associate with me going through, because I talk to everybody and anybody. But fear is something that I fight all the time. It's something that I fight wherever I go. I fight the idea of being fearful to speak to people, fearful, but yet the Holy Spirit comes in and I'm thrust forward to do what God is asking me to do. But before that happens, I do have an overwhelming fear that I always have to push through. So when Pastor prayed on Sunday, I was just thinking, I said, Father, I want to narrow down that fear because it's something that I'm always having to overcome. And, you know, as this week has gone by and I've prayed about it and I've sought the Lord, I realized some things that, again, from your past you think about. And you're overcoming that you're not good enough. You didn't come from the right family. You don't have a history of Pentecost. And I remember when I received my license, it was a big deal because I'm pretty old for women to be called into the ministry as evangelists. So I remember always being challenged as a woman. Are you sure you're called into ministry? Are you sure that's what God asked you to do? And so over the years, I have not been challenged like that. There's been an acceptance, but in my own self, the fear of those former things held me back. So this week has been a week of seeking the face of the Lord and getting through those fears and overcoming and recognizing that, okay, now you know where it comes from. Now you have to deal with it on a daily basis to make sure that you are an overcomer. So it was kind of comical that I went into on Friday leaving work, going to work on Friday. I decided to stop by Panera Bread. So I'm running in Panera Bread and I'm going to run in and run out because I don't want to be late for work. And I have this whole thing with time. I'd rather be 45 minutes early than a half of a second late. And everybody that knows that about me, they know that's crazy, but it's true. And so I was running in there and I was trying to hurry. And in comes someone that I met years ago that actually came in to early childhood education to be over us. And she was not very nice at that time. As a matter of fact, she was pretty intimidating and pretty mean. But then she only had the opportunity to work in her position for less than 3 months, and then she was gone. So we were facing each other. There was no way to get around not speaking or turning. So I turned to her and I just said, "Hello." And she said, "Hello." And we started talking. And she tells me, without me even asking, that she is taking care of her mother. And that is the reason why she is at home. I said, "Okay." Because I'm thinking, okay, so we go along, and she said, "You still work at Riversong?" And I said, "Yes," and we're talking. And I tell her, I said, "Well, I'm glad you're happy, and I'm glad that things worked out for you." And I said, "I have to go." And then tears came down her cheeks. And then she said, "I didn't tell you the truth." And I said, "Okay," because I'm still trying to put all of this together. And I said, "Okay." And she says, "I am not working for my mother. I am not working with my mother. I'm working in a daycare as a worker." She said, "And everything fell apart when I left that job. And my whole life has changed." She said, "And I'm so ashamed." And I just looked at her and I said, "You know, here I am. Got my time together. I'm thinking, okay, my food's sitting right there. I'm on my way out the door. I'm about to make that time." And I just looked at her and I said, "Can I hug you?" And she said, "Yes." So I put my purse down on the counter and I give her a hug. And then I said, "Can I pray for you?" And she said, "Yes." And we stood there and I prayed. She cried. And I was standing, I was saying, "God, I don't understand everything. I don't understand what's going on." And then the next thing I know, she said to me, she said, "Will you pray for me that my whole life changes?" And that's when it hit me. Her whole life can only change when she accepts Jesus Christ. And I said, "I only know one way your whole life can change." By this time, there was a sister that was from South Point. She walks over because she sees me praying. She puts her hand on my shoulder. And I said, "Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And she said, "Yes." And there in Panera Bread, She accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And when I walked out, I was telling the girls at work, I said, everything was still a fog because I'm like, Lord, nothing connected with anything that went on. I said, hello. And the story in which she told me and everything. But the goal was the Lord wanted her to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. We exchanged address, exchanged the fact of what time the services start. She said, I can't be here Sunday, and I'm going to be out of town the next Sunday. She said, but I'll be in church with you in 3 weeks. And I said, okay, I look forward to that. I know that God has a certain time for each of us. And why did I need the Holy Spirit? Sometimes I don't understand. I'm in different places. And I go places and I say, Lord God, here I am. And I'm willing to be free to do whatever you ask me to do. I'm a vessel that's saying, God, wherever I am, you are. And whatever you need me to say or do, I'm willing to do it. I was reading, and I mentioned this the last time I spoke on the Holy Spirit. Dr. Miles Monroe, who is deceased, was our bishop at one time when I was in Michigan. And he wrote this as a beginning. He said, there are solutions for the problems and crises in our families, community, business, nation, and world. As a planet under siege, we need help from a higher authority, help from a creator, for a greater world that has the ability to address our needs. We need someone from that world who has experience in bringing light into darkness, life into barrenness, and order out of chaos. If we could identify that person, we would know that he was sent by the Son to the earth to solve all of the problems in the world. He would naturally be called the most important person on earth, the governor of God's city. Only one person has those qualifications, and actually he is already in the earth. We must meet him, come to understand him, discover his purpose, intent, program, and his strategy to enable us to regain our authority and power and to influence life on the earth as we know it. And who is that? The Holy Spirit. Acts 1:1-8 says this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostle he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised. And when you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the time, date the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Excuse me. Jesus said, come and follow. I jumped ahead. And he was telling them that he was going to make them fishers of men earlier. He said, come and follow. I will make you fishers of men. For 3 years, get this inside of you, because by the time the Lord had really beckoned them to the Holy Spirit, for 3 years, 3.5 years, they had followed him. They had watched him teach the multitude, heal the sick, and even raise the dead. Those fishermen of the first they were the first century Christians, controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit and filled with his love. But yet he said, wait a minute, I'm calling you to something higher. I'm calling you to a deeper anointing. It's not the fact that you can't do just what God is calling you to do, but there is more. And why would you settle for less when there is more? Christ is calling us, and he's saying to us, I want to take you higher. I want to give you more. I want to give you the Holy Spirit so you will be endued with power from on high so that you will have what is needed. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, this is after. I looked at this entire thing as before and after. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they received a divine supernatural power that changed them from fearful men. From fearful men. We can read all throughout Scripture where they were very fearful. And we can read all throughout Scripture the things that they went through. But God changed them from fearful men to men who deployed for Christ and turned the world upside down. I was looking at deployment because throughout Scripture, we can see his disciples at work, but there was a different type of deployment after the Holy Spirit. They went out and they began to move. The word deploy, any military person would tell you this, but I wanted to read this. It says to extend, especially in width, to place in battle formation or appropriate position, deploying troops to the region, to spread out and utilize everything you have. That is what they did. They spread out. They began to preach the gospel wherever they went. And the gospel became real. And this is the difference. It was with power. It was with anointing. And on top of that, it was with signs and wonders. People's lives were changed. They were bold, effective witnesses. Persecution, it increased. Sometimes we think that because we come into Christ, there's not going to be any persecution. The persecution was not the same. It increased. They had more, but they were strong in the Holy Spirit and in their deployment. They were used by the Holy Spirit, not just to change people, but to change the course of history. They were world changers. After the Holy Spirit, they were world changers. Everywhere they were deployed to, everywhere that they went, the world was flipped upside down. Why? Because the Holy Spirit moved. What is Christ calling you to do? You know, something that I remember being told in Sunday school when I was a little girl, and it has stayed with me all my life. There are people that have your name on them. And you are supposed to bring them to Christ. Now, does this mean that Christ is not going to allow them to be saved? No. But there are people that Christ wants to use you to bring to him. The world is waiting for you. The world is waiting for you to come out and to be bold. And you say, but you don't understand. I'm afraid. That's what the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and he shows us where the areas are so that we can be healed and we can be bold. He's looking for bold soldiers, people that will stand and be deployed to go out and do his work. They were used by the Holy Spirit to change the course of the world. And this same power, the Holy Spirit, is available to you. It's available to you. Now, I know that many people have said, but you don't know how many times I have been prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have no idea. This is what I want to say to you today. If someone told you that you've been to the same grocery store 900 times, but you needed food on your table, would you go? Would you go back to that grocery store and get your food? Of course we would. then go again. 901 may be your time. But this time, go with a different attitude. Come in the presence of the Lord and say, God, you know what? I don't know what has been the problem, why I have not received. But God, number one, you have a divine order. I'm asking you to wash me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me, Lord. And forgive me of my disbelief, Lord. And forgive me of the things that I've been told that I have held on to. And they have separated me from being able to receive. Forgive me, Lord. Now, God, I come as an empty vessel before a full fountain. And this is what I say, Lord. Fill me. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I can be a bold witness for you. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I can draw closer to you. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because, Lord, you want to use me to prophetically minister to your people. And I need to hear from heaven. I need the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 1 through 8 says, 18 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Dropping down to verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under the heaven. This particular part of the scripture I'm going to read next, I learned something many, many years ago. I was a teenager. And I went to visit a Hispanic church. It was Pastor Bix Garando's church in New York City. And there I was in the service. And all of a sudden, I began to speak in tongues. And as I spoke in tongues, the entire church, when I opened my eyes, the entire church was on their knees. And the pastor said that God had used me to prophesy in Spanish to his church the exact words that that church was waiting for. I have to tell you, all I knew is that there was something happening inside of me. And all I knew is that there around me, I can't tell you that I knew exactly what I said because I didn't. But I knew that there was an anointing on my life to bring forth that word at that time. And when I left the church, I understood something that I've never understood before. It had been preached to me 1,000 times. The Holy Spirit is not jibber jabber. It's a language. It's a language. And it's a language of the Holy Spirit between you and the Lord, but other times he uses it between you and other people. And that day at Bix Garando's church, he decided that it was time. And there was a word he wanted delivered to that church. And he used a 16-year-old to bring that word to that church at that time. And I walked away understanding for the first time that it was a language. I knew before, I had heard it being preached, but I didn't understand it to the basis that the Lord taught me that day, that it is not jibber jabber, but it is a language between you and the Holy Spirit, but it and utterance to the Lord, but also it's a prophetical word that he can use. In this particular chapter right here, in this verses, he is saying every one of them came from different countries, different places, but what they heard was the word coming forth in their own languages. How is that possible? How is that possible except the Holy Spirit of God was moving? He says, now there was staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they said, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" How is this possible? That's how it is that each of us hear, that's how it is that each of us hear them in our own native language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the word of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much to drink." They made fun of them and they said, even though they knew it was a miracle happening right in front of them, they made fun of them and said, "You know what? They've had too much to drink." And this is the blessing. This is Peter after the Holy Spirit had come upon him. The crowd stood. Then Peter stepped up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Now, I want to tell you something. When I was growing up in the church, our young children prophesied. Our young children saw visions and dreams. Our children came into the sanctuary and laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. I remember one of our little girls praying for a guy that was in a wheelchair, and he stood up and he was healed by the power of God. The children were actively engaged in the receiving of the Holy Spirit. They came ready to receive the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. When the children began to worship God, all of a sudden it was as if the wind of the Holy Spirit just blew from one end to the other, and the children would just fall out and come up speaking in tongues. Because the breath of God was there and God's anointing was there to minister to the children. I'm excited that our children are allowed to worship. I'm excited that our children are allowed to be here. But parents, I want to say to you, get behind your children and encourage your children to go even further. Let them know that as they dance, they're dancing before the Lord. Let them know as they're worshiping before the Lord. And let them have an expectation that God will pour out his spirit and he will move in their lives. We had wheelchairs and canes hanging from the sides of the wall. But let me tell you something. Many of those were not prayed for by adults. They were prayed for by children. The children were urged to come forward and to help us pray. They would sometimes go get the children and say, "Bring the children forward. Let them pray for the people at the altar." The Holy Spirit had come. It is time for us to realize your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Just think of this. Peter, who denied Christ, was not able to admit at one point he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And Peter one that went and obeyed the promise of one of part of one of the 120 that went to wait on the Holy Spirit. He steps forward in a crowd, and Acts 2:41 said, those who accepted his message were baptized, about 3,000. 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. We have such low expectation of God. We have such low expectation of what the Lord can do. But we need to expand our expectation and say, Father, we want our 3,000. We want our 3,000. We want our children to lay hands on the sick. We want our children to prophesy. Lord, we want our children to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want our children to understand that there is a direct language from the child to the God above. We want our children to be filled. Children's Church. And every other part of the building will be different when we urge our children to stay until they're endued with power from on high. Mom, you have your children in a home. I'm telling you, get with them and pray until they're endued with power from on high. Pray until the Holy Spirit falls in your home. Because let me tell you something, even with all of that, they are still going to be tested. They are still going to be tried. And I often look at my son and I say, is he still there? But I'll tell you one thing, he'll never forget the visitation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the home. And he'll never be able to shake that. He will never be able to be told that God is not real. And he'll never be able to be told that he did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's here. In a book that Pastor gave me, I wanted to read something. Tim Enloe writes in the book, Helping Others Receive the Gift. He said, this is where the Unitarian function of the tongues help us understand precisely why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you can trust God to order your words in the spiritual language, now get this, if you can trust God to order your words in the spiritual language, in spirit baptism, then he can order your words prophetically. He can order you in the spirit world. He can order you as a believer. How much more can you trust him in baptism to order your words in English to unbelievers? The spirit in tongues, but mostly significant in our own language as we prophetically minister words from God's heart. We don't need the spirit of the spiritual baptism so we can speak in tongues. We need the spirit baptism so that we can speak to lost people and be used by the prophetical power of God. And yes, we also get the benefit of a community and having communion with God in a language of intercession and worship. I want to urge you today. It's Pentecost Sunday, and you have been saying, Lord, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what I believe. But as a child, I left my house with unbelieving parents. Your children are growing up in a house with believing parents. I left my house, and this is what I told my mother. I said, when I come home, I'm going to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't have a definition for all of that, but the church I had been going to said I needed all of it. And so guess what? I told my mother, I said, when I come home, I'm going to have it. She said, can you say that? I said, I don't know. But all I remember is coming to the altar because the Lord saw the faithfulness of a child's heart. I started walking down. And I said, Lord Jesus, save. And I went out and I came up speaking in tongues. They brought me home. I was speaking in tongues. My mother said, what am I supposed to do with her? Because she didn't understand. And I was told by her that I spoke in tongues half the night. And when I would stop, I would cry the other part. And then I'd start speaking in tongues again. And then I'd cry and I'd speak and I'd cry. I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There may be some of you that you say, I know I was filled. But here's the thing. I haven't spoken tongues for a long time. I want to encourage you. It's not just about the tongues, but I want to encourage you. It's a language. And you know what? I make it a habit in the morning before I leave to never leave my house until I have been connected in the realm of the Holy Spirit. There needs to be a connection every day where you stay long enough in prayer until you speak in tongues. Because God wants to speak to you. If you're here and you say, you know what? I'm going to ask the ministry team to come as I'm praying, as I'm talking. But those of you that are going to pray at the altar, please come. But here's what I want to tell you. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time, I'm going to ask you to come on this side. You've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Please come. We want to pray with you. If you just need a refilling, you say, I have not spoken tongues for such a long time, and I just want the Lord to refill me, please come. I'm going to ask you to come so that they can pray with you here. Because the Lord wants to minister to you. Now, every head bowed and every eye closed, I know that people are here. And I know that you're saying, because you're here, you're saying, Lord, I need more of you. Those of you that have been praying and praying and praying, please come down. Right now, come and surrender and say, God, I want more. I want more of you. It's not just about the tongues, but Lord, I want to be used to minister. I want to be used in witnessing to people. I want more. I want my children, Lord, to come forward. I want my children to be used of you. I want you to come. I'm asking you to come quickly. Everyone stand. Come and let the Lord give it to you. Come and say, Lord, this is it. This is it. Today is my day. I've wrestled with this. I don't know, Lord. I've had doubts. But today is my day. Come on down. Because the Lord wants to do it. I want more. I want more. I want more. Come on, sweetheart. Cassie, let me pray with you. I'm coming.
Thank you. There is no light.
Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting with us today. I thank you for the baptisms that you gave today. I thank you for the fresh fillings that you gave today. I thank you for healings today. I thank you, Lord, that you met with us and you've encouraged us. I thank you that you've called us out from fear. You've given us peace. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here today. We just thank you for this Pentecost Sunday. We thank you for all that happened those 2,000 years ago, that you've empowered us for ministry. I thank you, Lord, that those that were world changers at that time, Lord, are the first installments of the family that we have been called into. You've made us to be world changers, and I thank you that you've empowered us for it. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. We lift you high. Let our lives glorify you and the Father. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just empower each of us in new ways. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for who you are. And we come to honor you here in this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, our God is